Praise God. Praise God. Welcome, everybody, to Bible Studies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for the water we drink, for the food we eat, for shelter, and for clothing. We thank you, Lord God, for our families, for our loved ones. We thank you because we have Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for the compilation of the Holy Bible and the Spirit of God who enlightens us. We pray as we enter into your word tonight, and understanding will come to us in the name of Jesus. I want to say thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Okay, so let's just recap quickly. Last week, we discussed, we're discussing faith, the faith in the Son of God. And what we discussed last week is, remember, in the introduction, I said that faith is believing, believing is faith, right? Biblically speaking, faith, believing is exactly the same thing. Believing means you have faith, having faith means you believe. We also mentioned that faith is a conduit through which the grace and power of God flow into your life. We mentioned that faith is a conduit. It is a channel. It is through your faith that dunamis, the power of God, carries the grace of God flow into your life. Is that okay? Now, that becomes the importance of faith, in that God is all-powerful. At the end of the disciples' prayer, you will see scripture saying, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." That is truth. But the fact that the Lord is all-powerful doesn't mean that that power will manifest in your life if you don't operate in what we're calling faith. Is that okay? I repeat, God's almighty power flows into your life through faith. Again, remember last week we discussed two scriptures from the Synoptics, Matthew 19:26 and Mark 9:23. Matthew 19:26 simply says, "With God all things are possible." Then Mark 9:23 says, "All things are possible to him who believes." Okay? So the statement is profound, in that the things that are possible to God are made possible in our lives if we have faith. If we have faith. I also want you to remember that last week we also discussed that faith is not power. It's very important. Faith is a thoroughfare. Faith is a conduit. It is the receiver of the power of God. The power of God flows through faith. Faith is not power. Okay? So, many times we have the idea that we are powerful. We are only powerful because our God is powerful. Do you see that? Okay? We are able to channel God's power. We're able to receive God's power. That's what makes us powerful. We, in and by ourselves, right? Actually have no power, right? We were created to contain, right, the presence and power of God. We are not the power of God. Is that okay? So these fundamentals are some of the things I want us to seriously discuss, so that when we have this truth under our belt in our spirit, we can operate in faith consistently. Okay? Now, I discussed last week also that some of us have actually entered into faith, right? We stumbled into it without actually knowing how to operate it. An example is the woman with the issue of blood. Okay? She stumbled into it. She didn't actually intentionally get hold of faith and begin to apply it. She didn't really know faith. She stumbled into it. Is that okay? Now, how do we know that? When Jesus Christ discovered that power, dunamis, King James would say virtue, had flowed from him, right? It was like, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" She became afraid. She, "Wow, what happened? Wow, do I have the right to do that? Do I have the right to touch him?" You get me? But she had already been healed. But remember, the Lord Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Okay, so we're continuing this week. And what I want to show you this week is that the Lord Jesus is teaching on operating in faith, right? Is not synoptic in the sense that it wasn't just in one place that he shared the teaching on faith. He shared it in three different places. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He shared that principle of faith. So I want to show you what the Lord said, right? In order for you to know that this is actually Bible doctrine. Believing in your heart and speaking out of your mouth is actually Bible doctrine, right? For channeling the power of God. For receiving the power of God. Is that okay? So let us start from the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter. Let's quickly jump to the 5th and 6th verse. Now, in this Luke 17, the Lord is teaching about forgiveness. If your brother offends you, okay, seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns saying, I repent, you're going to have to forgive him. In verse 5 of Luke 17, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. This is a hard task, Jesus. How are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to do this? This is impossible. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 6 of Luke chapter 17, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Okay? Now, this sounds very familiar, right? Why? Because the Lord Jesus also spoke almost the same words, right, in teaching in other places in the Bible. Okay? So if we go to Matthew, let's read Matthew 17. The Lord taught exactly the same thing again when he was delivering, when he had delivered the young boy who was epileptic. You remember, he came down from the mountain of transfiguration. He met a crowd. The father of the young boy said, I brought your son, my son, to your disciples. They couldn't heal him. And he just said, bring your boy to him. He delivered the boy. Then disciples later came to the Lord Jesus and asked him a question in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And I read, then disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? See the Lord's reply. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, the word assuredly is actually the Hebrew word amen. It means valid, true, and sure. This is a spiritual law that Jesus Christ is actually announcing here and declaring. Okay? For assuredly, amen, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Why? Because by believing and speaking, you channel the power of God, O child of God. Okay? One thing I also want to show you quickly is that if you notice in Luke 17 and Matthew 17, the Lord Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, there's something you would do. Now, it didn't say if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would move the mountain. It actually doesn't say that. I'm not just trying to be smart. It doesn't actually say if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will move the sycamore or mulberry tree. No, I'm not trying to be smart. What the Lord Jesus said is that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say. Did you see that? It is in the saying that you open up the channel of faith, okay, for the power of God to move, right, and make that thing happen. Did you see that? I've seen so many times people say the reason they didn't get healed, the reason this happened is because they didn't have enough faith. They didn't have enough faith. They didn't have enough faith. Okay? I'm making faith look like it's some kind of emotional thing, some kind of feeling of confidence. No, it's not. Faith is knowing the will of God, knowing what God has said, right? And then speaking it out of your mouth in gratitude and in praise and sometimes in command. That will now channel the power of God into your situation and circumstance. Is that okay? Now, it's important to also understand the fact that when we look at something like praising God, you know that as we praise God out of a pure heart, it invokes the presence and power of God. Okay? Now, let's look carefully at this technology. Look at it. Romans 10 says, if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God arisen from the dead, I will be saved. Why? Because I believe with my heart, but confession that brings about salvation, deliverance, restoration, wholeness, and soundness, right, must be made out of my mouth. Is that okay? So remember what we said about the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith works in this way. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. What you have come to know and understand in the word of God regarding the promise of God, you must speak it out of your mouth in gratitude, in praise, and also in command, depending on the situation. Is that okay? It's essential you understand this. You want to channel the power of God into your situation and circumstance, right? You must believe in your heart. That is, come to know and to understand, right? What the promise of God is, what God has said in His Word, then agree with it, align with it, speak it out of your mouth in gratitude and praise and or in command. Is that okay? This is essential. When we praise God, we come before Him and we open our mouths and declare who He is. We're actually operating in faith, brothers and sisters. When we open our mouths to praise God, because we know and understand, right, that aspect of God that we are praising. As we open our mouths to praise God, it opens up the channel of faith. His presence and power now flows through that channel of faith into our situation and circumstance. Please understand this. So what will you say? Yes, praising God is an act of faith. Why? Because you believe in your heart and you're speaking and declaring who He is out of your mouth. What then is the result? God, the Bible says, inhabits the praise, is enthroned on the praise. Right? The Bible says that praise is God's sanctuary. The Bible says out of the Psalm 8 verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength, perfected praise. For what reason? To silence the foe and to silence the avenger. That's the reason. So this child of God, right, as he believes the word of God and speaks it out of his mouth, I channel the power and presence of God into my situation and into my circumstance. It doesn't fail. Now look at this, practically speaking. If I decide to praise God 20 times in a day, out of a pure heart, I decide to get down and praise God 20 times in a day. 20 times in a day, I will experience the presence of God. How long does it take for that tangible experience to come? I don't know. It could be a second, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, it could be 30 minutes. But it will come. Why? Because when you open your mouth and you begin to declare who God is, out of a pure heart, out of a heart of belief, out of a heart of understanding, are you listening to me now? The presence of God can now be channeled. Okay? Dunamis comes through faith. Grace comes through faith. How does faith work? I believe, and therefore I speak. God's power can now come. Okay? So we're talking about synoptics now. How this principle that I'm sharing with you, the Lord Jesus taught it three times. We've seen Luke 17. We've seen Matthew 17. Now, let's go to the famous Mark chapter 11. It's exactly the same principle, and the Lord teaches it again. What am I trying to establish? That this is doctrine. This is Bible doctrine. Yeah? And honestly, I feel, well, this is personal. The enemy hates this teaching because once you get this under your belt, you can always channel the power of God. And it's like I repeat, you praise God every day. Yeah? In your devotion, you experience His presence. You don't understand the fact that you're actually operating in faith. It's actually faith you're operating in. Now do that for every other area of your life, for wisdom, for healing, right? For favor. Are you listening? Do it, right? And see God move. Amen? Now, in the book of Mark, we know the famous cursing of the fig tree, but we just want to start from, you know, verse 20. Mark 11, the 20th verse, I'll read. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Now, maybe we'll ask the question, why did the Lord Jesus do this? And I infer from this story that the Lord Jesus was trying to show them the power of faith, the power of spiritual authority. Why did the Lord curse the fig tree? Well, for one, the Lord had been casting out evil spirits with the word, Matthew chapter 8. The Lord calmed the storm with the command, with the word. The Lord was healing with the word, multiplying food with the word. But I don't think they really understood. They thought that, oh, everything He was doing was just special to Him. He was exceptional. Of course, He's the Son of God. But we got to understand the fact that Jesus was training them to be like Him. Is that okay? They were His disciples. Agreed? Okay? So in this particular passage, is Jesus Christ is giving it's a learning moment. He cursed the fig tree, and the Bible says His disciples heard Him. He spoke to it. His disciples heard Him. That was the whole idea. Why? In order to teach them the power of faith. In verse 22, after Peter said, hey, the tree you spoke to is dead, that you touched is dead, the Lord Jesus says, have faith in God. Now, you know, some have said it means have the faith of God because of how it's arranged. Echete pistin theo. Echete is have. Pistin, pistin is faith. Theo, God. Have faith, God. So people think it means have the faith of God. But the idea is this, whether it means have the faith of God or have faith in God, Jesus, our Savior, in the 23rd verse, explains to us how to operate in faith. Okay? You want to have faith in God or have the faith of God? Look at verse 23. And he uses the same word again, for assuredly. That word, that Hebrew word, amen. In your King James, it is verily. Okay? Two amens, verily, verily, in King James. Two amen, amens in New King James is most assuredly. The Lord Jesus Christ is establishing spiritual law, announcing spiritual law. This is valid, this is true, and this is sure. And this is what he said. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is amazing. Now, this is the Lord Jesus talking, and some have said, which I personally believe is an attack on this doctrine, is that this is just hyperbole. Is that okay? Jesus was just speaking in hyperboles. He didn't really mean it. But you have read it three times, exactly the same principle that the Lord Jesus dropped three times. So don't be telling me it's a hyperbole. This is the principle of faith. Believe and speak. Know, come to understand what the will of God is, what God has promised you, and speak it out of your mouth in praise, in gratitude, or in command. Is that okay? Now, to show you how powerful this principle is, our personal prayers are hinged on this principle. Look at it now. Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So the Lord Jesus is telling you that the same principle of faith is the same principle that works in your personal prayers. Which means if you don't know the principle of faith, right, you won't be getting your personal prayers answered. It's not going to happen. Is that okay? So that's why this is so important to us. I repeat, the Lord Jesus taught this principle three times. Okay? Mark 11, Matthew 17, Luke 17. This is Bible doctrine. And it's not advanced Bible doctrine. This is elementary. Faith toward God. Is that okay? Now let me stop here and just give a small commentary. We have been in a situation where we have desired things from God. We are believing God for this. We are believing God for that. We want God to, you know, work this miracle for us, to bring this intervention for us. But sometimes I see that we're a bit too self-centered when we are seeking God. Let me give you an example. You are believing God for a child. You want babies. It's not about you, really. You've got to understand the fact of the scripture. God has already shown you his will concerning you. He has already promised you babies. He has already told you, this is what I want for you. None shall miscarry. None shall be barren. He said it to you. So if you go into the scriptures, right, and read the scriptures, right, you will see what God actually wants for you. Then what do? Come and understand. Come and know what God wants for you. Then speak it out of your mouth in gratitude, in praise, and or in command. And you will channel the power of God into your life to see these things happen. Okay? So let's look at it like this. We're believing God for healing at home, right, from my wife. And we're not looking at healing from the angle of, I desire healing for my wife. She has an inflammation. I desire healing for my wife. No, we're looking at it from the angle of God's will for her is healing. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Right? So the pressure is off us. We're not trying to generate faith. We're not trying to stir up faith. All we're doing is looking into the Word of God to see what He already wants for us. From the foundation of this earth, what He already wants for me, I align with it. I come to know it, understand it in my mind, right? And then what I do? I operate in faith. I speak in gratitude and praise and or in command. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you. Because your word says none will miscarry and nobody will be barren. Father, I thank you, Lord God, because you have given me my children. I give you praise. You've got to look at it from the angle of God is the giver. God is the one who has willed this for you. God is the one who has promised. Oh, we're broke. We're in debt. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, Lord, can't you see our situation? Lord, can't you see it so bad for us financially? No. It's not about you. It's about him. He says, the Lord, being your shepherd, you shall not want. He said that he blesses the righteous with favor as with a shield. He has already said it before your situation started. Are you listening to me? He's already spoken it before the challenge came. It is his will. It is his promise. You come and align with it. This is what daddy wants for you. It's not just about what you want for yourself. Look at it from the angle of what daddy wants for you. Take the pressure off yourself. Take the burden off yourself. Are you listening to me? And put the burden on God. He's the one who wants it for you. Are you listening to me? I remember a story in the scripture, a record in the scripture, in the book of Joshua, where Joshua goes to battle, not understanding that, is it Achan or Achan, however you pronounce it, had done something terrible. He had taken some of the jewelry that they found in Jericho and he had hidden it in his tent, which was contrary to God's command. So they go to battle with the smallest nation or tribe, you know, Ai, they're called Ai, even the smallest name, Ai. And they lose. They had fought against giants, they'd won. They fight against the smallest bunch of people and they lose. And I'm like, what? And watch this, watch what Joshua does. Joshua doesn't take it personal, like, oh my God, we have lost and everything. God puts it all on God. And he goes into fasting and says, Lord, why have you allowed this one to happen to your name? You understand? God, why? You see now, this is your nation. It's your name that is going under disrepute. You understand? He didn't say, oh Lord, see us, we've lost, we're feeling terrible. Oh Lord, restore us. No, he didn't take it personal. It was all about God. Because the fighting, the possessing of the land, right, was God's will for them. It is God who had given them the land. It's not that they just wanted it. It's God who gave them. So why? They put the pressure on God. That God, why now? Why do you allow your name to be brought to disrepute like this now? Do you understand? So what I'm trying to say is that, in this commentary, right, is that you, brothers and sisters, see, it's about what God wants for you. You say you want to succeed. God is the one who wants you to succeed. Right? Continue with the commentary. He is the one who loves you. You know, there's been a passage in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, verse 8, it says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Can you imagine that? Cast your cares upon the Lord because he's the one who actually cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5. Yeah? So put the pressure on him. It's about what he wants for you. He cares for you. He wants you to succeed. God wants, listen to this, God wants you to your needs to be met, right? More than you do. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. God wants your needs to be met more than you do. So let your focus be Godward. Let your faith be toward God. Okay? Even, you know, when I see situations, circumstances, I'm not ready. It's not between me and the challenge. You understand? It's between God and the challenge. My issue is to have my faith toward God, channel the power of God to remove the obstacles and to remove those things. It's not between me and the thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not between me and the thing. My faith is toward God. God, you're the one with the power, not me. Okay? But you've given me the organ and the faculty to be able to channel your power anytime I want. Are you hearing me? This is important. Stop taking your issues in your life so personally. You got to stop that. Okay? Let your faith be toward God. Just focus on God. Right? And let and then channel his power and his grace to sort out the situation. Okay? Jesus gave us a blessed and a blessed inheritance. This is amazing. Having Jesus Christ is just a matter of learning the mysteries of the kingdom. Right? And learning. Are we going to have difficulties? Yes, but we're not going to discuss that now. Courage is important for this lifestyle. Is that okay? One other thing I would like to share. I just finished the commentary right now. It's from the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 20th verse. Okay, so the first thing we said today is that the principle of faith, the teaching of faith, Jesus Christ, our Savior, taught it three times. Okay? Now, I've shown you that in order to establish the fact that it is Bible doctrine. It is Bible doctrine, and it is to be known, understood, and applied by you if you want to see God's power in your life. Okay? If you want to see God's power channeled into your life, if you want to receive God's power, if you want to connect to God's power, right, you must operate in faith. Let me just repeat this. 1 Peter 1:5, we are guarded, we are kept by the power that's the dynamis of God through faith. Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace, charis, you have been saved through faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have the same spirit of faith. As it is written, we believe, and therefore we speak. We believe, therefore we have spoken. All right? That's the spirit of faith. Okay? You believe in your heart, you confess out of your mouth. Romans 10:10, right? For with the heart, you believe unto righteousness, but with your mouth, confession is made unto soteria. Very important principle, right? Now, when we say believe in the heart, let me tell you how to do it. Simple. Know and understand the will of God and the promise of God regarding our matter. That's how you believe. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Did Israel not know? Are you listening to me? So, how do you come to the place of belief? Go into the scriptures and come to understand the promise of God regarding you. That's how faith is awakened. And then speak it out of your mouth in gratitude, in praise, and or in command in Jesus' name. Is that okay? Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll round up there. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Bible says something very, very profound that I want us to really understand. From 2 Corinthians 1:20, we'll just quickly jump into Ephesians 2. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, scripture says this, for all the promises of God in him are yes. I'm reading from New King James. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All right? So in the King James, the word will be, it will be rendered like this. For all the promises of God in him are yea. Opposite of yea is nay. That's negative, right? So when the Bible says all the promises of God in him are yes, it's affirmative, right? And in him, amen. Like I said again, amen is a Hebrew word. It means valid, true, and sure. Okay? So if you are in him, that is, if you are in Christ, all the promises of God are yes for you. They are affirmative. They are yours. Okay? If you are in him, if you are in Christ, right, all the promises of God are valid and true and sure for you. They are your inheritance. All right? Is that okay? Remember Obadiah 17, right? Among Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. I'm just using that passage to explain that we have possessions, we have an inheritance in Christ, right? But possessing them is a totally different matter. One major aspect of possessing our possessions is operating in this principle of faith. Okay? So we just read 2 Corinthians 1:20. Also, I want to share that the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are valid, they are true, they are sure, they are for you, they are yours. You also have to understand that the promises of God are, when the Bible says for all the promises of God, you need to understand the fact that God also operates on the law of precedence. Let me explain what I mean. Anything the Lord has done for anybody in the scripture, documented in the scripture, he will do for you. Doctrine does not only appear as statements, it also appears as events. Anything God did for anybody in the Bible, you can receive by faith. Right? All the promises of God. I remember the Hebrew midwives in the book of Exodus, the scripture says this, because they feared the Lord gave them their own households. That is husband package plus children. Now, you can actually stand on that scripture too, because it comes under for all the promises of God. Okay? Now, let's quickly read Ephesians 2, where we'll end this evening's Bible study. And there's something deeply profound by what I'm about to read in Ephesians 2. Now, Ephesians 2, I want to read from verse 11 to 13. It's quite a bit of reading, you know. but I want us to like look at it. Yeah. So it says this. Watch this. Ephesians 2:11 from New King James. It says, therefore remember that we were once Gentiles in the flesh. Gentile means we were non-Israelites, non-Jews. Okay? In fact, we actually are Gentiles. Okay? Watch this. Who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision in the flesh by hands. Listen to this. That you are without Christ. 1. 2, you are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. 3, strangers from the covenants of promise. 4, having no hope. 5, without God in the world. That was our condition before. 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is amazing. What does that mean? It means, number one, now we have Christ. Christ means the anointed one in his anointing. In other words, we are in the anointed one, we are in his anointing. Remember what the Bible says? We've been baptized the Holy Ghost and fire. We have been introduced into the kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head over the body, which is the church. We are part of that body. We are the body of Christ. We are not far off anymore. We are in Christ. Watch, I'm finished. Bible says we were once aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What it means is that once upon a time, you, child of God, you are not a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are an alien. Do you understand? But now you're a citizen. All right, next. Strangers from the covenant of promise. What it means is this. Once upon a time, you had absolutely no right to claim any promise in the Bible, to receive any promise in the Bible. You had no right at all. You couldn't even hold on to Lord is my shepherd. God will not move on your behalf. Are you listening to me? Okay, but now you are no more a stranger of the covenant of promise. The covenants of promise are yours. Are you listening? Abraham's blessing is now yours. The Bible says so in Galatians chapter 3. Okay? Watch your. Having no hope. So before Jesus, we had no hope. Ellipsis. That means this is what this means, eh? Before we had Jesus, we had no expectation of God coming through for us. We had no expectation, no hope in God at all. Without God in the world. So right now, we have God in this world. Please listen to me. You have God in this world now. You are not alone. You are not alone. And this is very important. You need to come and understand this. You are not alone in this life. You're not alone. This is what Jesus has done for you. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. You have a right to every promise in the Bible. You have expectation of God coming through for you. The minute you begin to praise him. Are you listening to me? You begin to align with God's word. You expect him to come through for you. And he will. Because you have the right. You have God in this world. None of us who's a child of God is alone. I sometimes wonder how people who are Christians are so lily-livered. They get so easily discouraged. So easily disappointed. Oh my God. They act as if God doesn't exist. Are you listening to me? And then they'll tell me they believe in Jesus. If you've been convicted of your sin, right? Then, in reality, you should know that all this is true. Right? So I'm showing you this to show you that whatever the promises of God may be, they are yours. They are yours. But you've got to know the promise yourself. Are you listening to me? You've got to know the promise yourself. You've got to know the promise yourself. Because when you know it and understand it, you can now open your mouth, begin to declare it, begin to speak it out of your mouth in gratitude and praise. By so doing, you have opened the channel of faith and you begin to channel God's power and grace into your situation and circumstance. I repeat, operating in praise is operating in faith. That's when you praise God, the presence comes. All right? And please, praise is not singing. Let me just add this. You can sing praise, right? But praise is not singing. Praise is declaring who God is, exalting his name. So when you begin to declare, knowing that Jesus is Lord and Jesus has died and resurrected for your healing, and you open your mouth and you say, Father, I thank you because you are my healer. I thank you because you're my healer. You've opened the channel of faith. God's power can now flow into your life to begin to bring healing. Wow. Are you serious? Yes. Now, you see how simple the principle is, right? That's why we're having this Bible study. Okay? So once you get this under your belt, right, you can walk in what we call victory. Yeah? That no matter what happens to you, the power of God will be there for you to overcome. Whether to give you strength during a trial or to deliver you from the trial, God's power will be available. You're not alone. Don't forget the Spirit of God is living inside you. We'll discuss that another time. Praise the Lord. All right, so this is where I'd like to round up this evening. We'll continue again next Friday. And my question is, if anybody has any questions or anything, we can do that now. Amen. So thank you.
Hello, Rami. Okay, let me ask. Hello, Rami. All right. Yeah. A lot of the time, one of the problems that people have when they hear messages, they feel like, are you saying I can't ask for anything? And do I not have how about righteousness? How about righteous feeling? How about do I have a part to say? You know, do I have a part to say in this whole thing? Do I have to really live righteously? Do I have to be right standing? You know, if I'm in sin, for instance, I make all of these promises. Yeah, and then people think that's the thing with all these people. They just say, believe God. Without make me look as if other things matter. Yeah.
Okay, that's your question. Babe, you mentioned right standing with God. You mentioned righteousness. Which one are you talking about? Okay, I think I get your point.
Someone is living in sin.
Okay, somebody's living in sin and wants to operate in faith. I mean, come on now. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. Which, it didn't say God will not answer. It said God will not hear. Which means that the faith connection can't work when you regard iniquity in your heart. It can't. But there is a faith connection that can work when you're in sin. When you ask God for forgiveness. Is that okay? Because it still takes faith. You're still going to have to know and understand what the blood of Jesus has done and come to God, right? Agree with him that you have messed up, right? And tell him that, Lord, let the blood avail. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Do you understand? So, no, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayer. The channel of faith cannot be opened, right, to bring favor, the favor of God into your life if you're operating in sin. I want you to also remember that faith, operating in faith is also a personal thing in the sense that the Spirit of God lives inside you. Okay? Don't ever think you're alone. Your Spirit of God is living inside you. So you're living in sin and you're confessing God's word. Right, you're not actually in faith. Why? Because there's a foundation for faith, which is godliness. Watch this. When the Lord was teaching the principle of faith, he was teaching his disciples. He was not teaching non-believers. Okay, let me repeat that again. When the Lord was teaching the principle of faith, he was teaching his disciples. He was not teaching unbelievers. So that's enough to tell you that the principle of faith is for believers. Now, I know that some people say this faith thing sounds very much like new thought or new age. No. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is what we're discussing. Okay? We're not just coming up and down speaking stuff, right? We're focusing on the very promise and will of God in the Holy Scripture. Eh? And we're giving gratitude and praise. Do you understand? To the Lord, right? In so doing, it channels his power into our lives. Is that okay? Is that right? Any other questions?
I think what you've taught today is, I actually love what you taught, because it kind of aligns very nicely to a message I had yesterday.
Oh,
is it really? Because you know, Wesley shared a message from Columbia yesterday, and it was really about, you know, the promises of God, right? And many people say they receive a word, but they can't see it. It's not happening, God. It's not happening. Right? And he said, you know, and he said, but faith, you have to keep planting the promise. By faith, you have to plant the promise, right? You know, normally when God gives you a word, you normally can't see it, right? But that's why faith comes by hearing, as you said, right? So you've got to plant that promise into that situation. and not live by what you're seeing, right? And I think what you've shared today has been quite. I love the power that you deliver that with, directness, because people need a directness. So I find it. I think it's funny, really easy to receive. That's what I'm telling you.
Thank you, sir. There's something you shared recently in the group on a testimony of Aretha Higgin, the late Pa Higgin's wife.
Yeah.
How she had, I think, some form of cancer.
Yeah.
And how she stayed in the Word of God for a year and she got complete. No, it was a heart disease.
Yeah.
It was a weak heart.
Yeah.
And after a year, she got, she had an experience, God touched her, she had a brand new heart. You know? Now, the thing about it is that many of us, because we have not ever focused on the Word of God before in our lives, we've never done it before. You know? When we have a sickness, a serious illness, we just realize the fact that we've been going to church for years, but we don't really know or understand that God wants to heal us. We don't know that. Let me say it in a different way. We don't have faith. Do you understand? We just get so discouraged and disappointed.
Yeah.
But you got to understand the fact that God, that like I said, like the Bible says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The power is there. The glory is there. All right? But the issue is that for you to channel it, you've got to know and understand this is what he wants for you, and this is how to channel it. Just open your mouth and speak with gratitude, with praise, and or in command, you open the channel of faith. Keep that channel open. Keep that channel open, right? I tell people, you are terminal. Take the medication, you understand? If you have diabetes, take the medication down. Keep on operating in faith, right? Because insulin cannot cure diabetes, but the Word of God can. But it will keep the symptoms down. We'll discuss this one other week when we'll talk about receiving healing. Okay, but it's essential to understand the fact that you must come to know the Word of God and understand it for yourself. I repeat, some of the challenges that you have faced in your life that just totally crush you is because you never focused on the Word of God before. Are you listening to me? And the good thing is that we're a community, we're a church. So we're there to hold each other's hands and help you, right, to stay in the Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why we have this Word regime. Well, we keep on teaching on healing. We keep on teaching on believing God. We keep on teaching on faith to keep people sharp. Keep people sharp. Because in this life, you will have challenges. Full stop. In this life, you will have trials and tribulations. That one is for sure. And the common sense thing is that knowing that in this life, I'm going to have trials, right? Shouldn't I then have, you know, a good word diet? Shouldn't I be staying in the Word on a daily basis? Are you listening to me? Is it only when trouble comes and I crack open my Bible and start listening to YouTubes on healing and YouTubes on favor and start, you know, I should be doing that even before the trouble comes. I should be doing that to prepare myself. Scripture says the person who has stored up the Word of God in his heart is not going to fall. Let me say the way your Bible says it. I have stored up your Word in my heart that I will not sin against you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you're not storing the Word of God. Challenges come, you fall. You see, that's just the way it is, yeah? You get so discouraged, you begin to say, oh my God, I don't know why God has done this in my life. Listen, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory is a constant. His almighty power will always be available, but are you receiving it? Well, it depends if you have faith and know how to operate in faith. This simple principle just shared. You got to know and understand what God has promised you. Know it.
One more thing. Okay. I'm looking forward to when we get to talk about how to hear God. Because in my experience, I think that when I'm believing God for things, there are things that God, you know, will say to you. You know, directions, you can use directions, go this way, go that way, do it this way, do it that way. And I see that sometimes is a hindrance to some of us in the things that we are believing God for. Yeah, the things that we're praying, you know, to God for. Sometimes we see direction, go this way, go that way, instructions, do this, do that, you know. For instance, okay, now you are the Red Sea, raise your staff and touch the sea with the staff, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Okay, or, no, I understand, but I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying when you talk about God giving instructions. I mean, leading you subjectively, but we're discussing the principle of faith, right? We're discussing the principle of faith, right? And yes, God does direct. God's subjective guidance is actually a release of power. Let me repeat that again. Subjective guidance is a release of power. Let me say it in a different way. Subjective guidance is a manifestation of the spiritual gifts. That's actually what it is. We Pentecostals will say, hearing God. It's actually receiving words of knowledge and words of wisdom. That's actually what it is. But sometimes we take it so personal. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. Actually, you received a word of knowledge, or you received the word of wisdom. Are you listening to me? All right. So your faith, once you take hold of the word of God and speak it out of your mouth in gratitude and praise, it can actually channel the power of God, which gets manifest. Is that okay? So we'll discuss that another time. There's a brother here, David. Word born Olawiye. Dave, you want to say something?
Dave? Yes, I have a question. Good evening, sir.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, clearly.
All right, yeah. So I have this question. You know, that passage of scripture that we read, I think that should be from the book of John, Mark 11, where the Lord taught the principle of faith. You know, there's a phrase there that says that if you believe and not doubt in your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think the way faith has been taught, often we, for a lot of us, at least for me, whenever I'm believing God for something and I do not see it, you see, we begin to ask ourselves, is there somewhere in my heart that I began to doubt the word of God? Is that why I didn't get what I was believing God for? So my question is, what does it mean exactly to doubt in your heart? What does it look like? How do I know that I've doubted in my heart?
Okay, that's great. Now, first of all, unbelief and doubt are not the same thing at all. Doubt, the strength behind doubt is ignorance. Right? Unbelief is choosing not to apply the word of God. That is why unbelief is synonymous with the word disobedience. But anywhere you hear of doubt in the Bible, it actually has to do with ignorance. In other words, you don't know faith enough to be operating in it, but you're trying to operate in it. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Now, if you look at the word doubt, right, you notice that the first four letters are D-O-D. Okay? If you add L-E, the word is double. Doubting is being double-minded. Doubting is vacillating. Doubting is having one leg in, one leg out. This moment you're saying, I'm believing God. Okay, let me tell you, this moment you're praising God and giving gratitude to the Lord, aligning with his word. The next moment you're complaining and murmuring. That's what we call doubting. Okay? I repeat, the power of doubt is ignorance. It's because the person doesn't know or understand the word of God enough. That's why the person will vacillate from side to side. Now, there's a passage of the Bible, in the book of James, let me just read it to you quickly. When you're asking God for wisdom or anything, in James 1 from verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Watch this. Driven and tossed by the wind, vacillating. One leg in, one leg out. Today you're believing, tomorrow you're not believing. Today you're believing, tomorrow you're not believing. Watch this. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So in other words, the person has not come to the place where they really know or understand God's word. Is that okay? That's why you teach the principle of faith. We teach it. So that as you're standing in faith, speaking, you're aligning with God's word, speaking with praise and gratitude, yeah? Commanding if necessary, right? And you see that the thing has not happened yet. You don't begin to now say, hey, what am I doing? Am I not operating in faith properly? Am I not... No. You know the thing before you operate in it. Is that okay? Learn it well. Learn how it's done. The faith principle is clearly outlined in the scripture. It's not ambiguous at all. Is that okay? So, vacillating is what it means to doubt. No vacillating. Stick to the principle and keep on working it. But for you to stick to the principle and keep on working it, you got to know it. You got to understand how it works. Is that okay? And everybody can be shaky in the beginning, you know, just like driving in a car. First time I, you know, was learning how to drive. My first lesson was awful. Second was awful. Third was awful. Fifth was awful. Sixth, seventh. And then I got a hang of it. I got a hang of driving. What about the first time, you know, we started using, you know, mobile phones? You remember? You know, to be able to use your mobile phone, well, you have to sit down with it. You have to study it. You have to know it. You have to understand how to use it. Now we use these things instinctively. But remember, there was a time where if we're receiving calls, we'll talk like this and then do this, then talk like this and do. You understand what I'm saying now? You know, so we have to learn this thing. I'm telling you that faith must be learned. Yeah. But because it's in quotes, it's religious, we think that God understands my heart. No, operate in the principle. Is that okay? Yeah. Dave, did I help answer your question? Yeah?
Yes, sir, you did. You did not, but okay. So, quickly, quickly. All right,
go on quickly. Right, because so, Vicky has a question too. Oh yeah, quickly.
I just caught myself that I'm in doubt, and then I correct myself. Does it mean that once I correct myself, then I'm on track again?
Finish. Once you stop vacillating, you're on track.
All right.
Once you stop vacillating, you're on track. Is that okay? All right.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. All right, Sister Vicky, you have a question. Your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you. This is really useful teaching, and it's a follow-on from Ndidi's first question to you,
okay.
Where you want to, you pray and you praise, and I find the pattern of the Lord's Prayer is a good model to use, yeah. Because it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. Does that, without forgiving our debtors, would that prevent us from receiving the promises of God because we haven't fully confessed?
All right.
And forgiven.
Worry, anxiety, fear, unforgiveness destroys your capacity to receive from God. Okay?
Thank you. Yep.
It destroys it. It blocks it. It's a blockage in the pipe. It's a blockage in the connection. It just stops it.
Yep.
Is that okay? Now, remember, forgiveness is not necessarily an emotional thing. Okay?
It's a decision.
It's a decision, and it's a confession, most and foremost, a confession.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is that, look, your faith is toward God. It's God that said you should forgive, right? So you come before God and say, look, Lord, I'm forgiving this person that offended me.
Yeah.
I'm obeying you. I'm forgiving the person. Now, we need to also understand what forgiveness means. That's also another important thing. Forgiveness means to let go of resentment, ill will.
Yes.
Retaliation, vengeance. You got to understand that. It doesn't mean the emotions will disappear. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Many people forgive, but they come back and say, I'm having a problem of forgiveness. I said, the question is why? They said, because I still feel bad about the person. I feel bad now. But the issue is that, are you obeying God? Do you feel like getting back at the person? No.
No.
Do you want to harm the person? No. Do you hate the person? Of course not. Then you're forgiven. But the emotions will still be there. That's just the way it is. That's you. That's a human being. The emotions will still be swelling a bit, and over a period of time, in that season, they will go. But forgiveness is first of all an act of obedience unto the Lord, a confession unto the Lord. The Lord, I'm letting go of this thing. I'm ready to do this person good. Right? I'm ready to. If I have the opportunity, I'll do the person good. But Lord, I let it go. But where we have ill will, we have resentment, animosity, and all those things, vengeance towards the person, unforgiveness, and we have destroyed our capacity to receive from God. We're walking in darkness, according to the Bible.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. Can you list the few things that you said at the beginning? There were several things that blockage to the unforgiveness was one, and you named a couple of others that were...
Anxiety. That's what we call it now, isn't it? Anxiety.
Right. Yeah.
And that's something we're trying to normalize. The world is trying to normalize anxiety in our lives. So, any small thing, I'm anxious. I'm having an anxiety panic. I'm anxious. We think anxiety is normal. It's not. It's a child of fear. It's worry. Okay. But yeah, we're meant to be full of. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. The Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. It's not normal to be anxious. It's not normal to be depressed. It's not normal to be fearful. It's not normal to have resentment towards other people. As a child of God, it's not normal. It's an abnormality. You've got to deal with it. Is that okay?
Thank you so much. Thank
All right.
you.
Praise the Lord. This is where we're ending. Tej Williamson. Yeah. All right, Tej.
I think you're a really good point. This isn't about do not be anxious for anything.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's easy to be anxious when your focus and your hope is not in God. Jonathan. But
yes.
When your focus and your hope is in God, right, it eats up anxiety. The Bible calls it, there's one illustration the Bible uses in Ephesians chapter 6 and Thessalonians. It says the helmet of salvation. And wearing the helmet of salvation as hope. The helmet of salvation is hope. Hope protects your mind. It protects you from anxiety when you have hope in God. And how do you establish hope in God? Read the Bible. Stay around a Christian community. Look at the promise of God. See what God did for others. Everything you see God doing for others is simply a message to you of what is available to you in the now. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's the one thing I always say about forgiveness, and it drove me absolutely mad when people go, I've forgiven that person. It's like, you don't sound like it. And they say, I can't. I remember when my father was on his deathbed, mm-hmm. and I said to his sister, have you forgiven him? No, I've forgiven him, but they said that I've got to ready to forgive him, but he needs to ask for forgiveness. And I said, no, you're supposed to forgive him. I said, in the Bible, yes. Even if you see the King James Version, it says, thou shalt. It's a command, thou shalt.
Amen.
Well, I said
yes.
to my sister, you think you're better than God? Because by not forgiving that person, you're picking yourself above God. You think you're above God? That's what you're doing by forgiving them, is you're releasing them to God and saying, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to forgive this person. Lord, I'm going to leave this at your feet. I'm going to let you deal with it. But by holding on to it, you're saying, I'm going to deal with this, and I'm not going to do it better than God.
And you know what that actually is, in another word? It's called pride, and it's also called idolatry.
Yes.
Is that okay? That's a complete lack of humility. It's pride and it's idolatry. You know, your unforgiveness has become your God. Yeah.
I've been blocked by my sister and other people have done that. I was like, give it to God. You need to forgive that person.
Can I also say something? When you obey God, let's end with this thought, please. It's about 8:30 now. When we obey God, there's something that we need to understand that happens. God helps us. Let me repeat that again. It's like when you step out to obey God, God now supports your obedience. Is that okay? Let me repeat that again. When you step out to obey God, God supports your obedience.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Because obeying God's word makes you strong. There's strength. I mean, if you're in line with God's word, if you're walking in the word of God, don't forget you're not alone. The Spirit of God lives inside you. If you obey God, the Spirit of God will then empower you. You know, some people think, no, he will empower me to obey him. Yes, but he also empowers you after you obey him. You know, God speaking to the priests when they're crossing the Jordan, tells them to, walk into the water during flood season. It's when they had walked into the river that it parted. And sometimes, you know, our relationship with God is like that. You obey first, then I will empower you as you obey. Okay? So forgive, then God will come through. Just like you said, forgive and God. See, the obedience also attracts something. We talk about empowerment. It attracts something called reward, right? Obedience to God attracts reward. It attracts his favor. I'm telling you this. When we obey God, right, it attracts his favor. I'm telling you, you know. So you can imagine acts of forgiveness, right, can actually lead God to working other things in you and in your life. When you obey God, it attracts his favor. It attracts reward. Is that okay? Very important. Obeying God attracts reward. You know, so that's another thing you can look at. That hey, if I forgive, if I do what Father God says, I please him. You see that? I please him. That's the first thing. That's the greatest thing, actually, that it pleases him. Then secondly, he rewards you with more of him. Jesus speaking, I close with this. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Right? And he that obeys my commandments, I and my Father will come and hang out and sup with the person. Okay? He further says that if you obey my commandments, I will disclose myself to you. Obedience to the Lord will cause you to see and know and experience more intimacy with the Lord. That's a reward. Praise God.